It's the R&B podcast number 5. I'm with Mike, Rob, I'm Nate B, producer TD. Let's go!
Scared me, bro.
Shout my name out, cause you bad. Mommy, we can jump. Tune into the R&B show.
Be sure to tune in.
Tune into the R&B show.
Be sure to tune in.
All season long.
Bro.
Oh.
We done made it, Nate. We done made
That's
it,
what I said.
What I said. Hey.
Whoa.
Listen, when TD played this for me yesterday,
we made it.
I was so hyped. Hey, yo.
Wow.
Follow DC native Sha Infinite on Instagram.
Sha.
Check him out on SoundCloud.
You
search Sha Infinite.
Thing,
check
bro.
Out his mixtapes. Catch up in all season. Bro, D'Angelo plugged us with Sha. Sha made a track for us.
Oh, just for all the people that know, D'Angelo was Thugger, the people we
Thugger,
talk
Thugger,
about.
Thugger, back there with TD in the production stage. Side
yeah.
of things.
Yeah.
Listen, Mike, was that crazy?
Nah, dog.
We can't spend
it.
Too much time on
yeah,
it, but
bro. We got it, bro.
Somebody,
I got to get that.
Somebody.
I got to get that as my ringtone or something.
That's facts.
Ring
I didn't
my
even
playback.
Think about that.
Yeah, dog.
All right, so listen, this is episode number 5. Before we start, let me explain what's going on and who I'm with. I'm with
Real Mike Rob, man.
And this is Nate B. This is the R&B podcast. This is real life, real conversation with real NFL players around the league talking about football. Any other sports you want. We talking to celebrities. We talking about celebrities, pop culture, music. Got my man TD, the producer in the back, dropping beats throughout the show.
We say what the players are thinking, okay?
We keep it real.
Keep it 100, man. You can't get this anywhere else.
How real?
Doesn't happen.
How real? It's like a sports podcast meets The Wire. And I know you know.
You know I know about The Wire. You know I know about The Wire. If it gets real like The Wire, boy.
You know, it was crazy. Last week, we was like, sports podcast meets The Empire.
Yeah.
Sports podcast meets Power. Sports podcast meets The Wire. I like how TD be keeping us lit.
We come up
lit.
With something new every
Oh, he keep dog. Us lit. You something know what I'm saying? New. I got a dab on him one time for that one. Hey, so listen, on today's show, we're going to talk about the personality of a quarterback, and we're going to get deep about it.
Yeah,
you know, what kind of quarterback do you want on the field, off the field, but really within that locker room?
Yeah, man.
Listen, this is our second straight week with a guest on the R&B podcast.
We moving up in the world, dog.
That's saying the least of things. We are definitely in the building. And you know who we got in the building? Is director of critically acclaimed films like Fruitvale Station. Dog. For those who don't know, powerful film.
Beast.
Powerful. You have to see that. And the new film out, Creed, starring Sylvester Stallone.
Beast.
Legend. And then a young legend. Who's going to play me in my movie, Michael B. Jordan,
shut up.
The director of those two films, Ryan Coogler, young black man doing it.
Doing his thing, bro.
And gave us a Skype interview. How crazy was
dude,
that?
Dude, he.
So we got that on the show.
Dog.
And later, we're going to introduce a new segment. For right now, it's not implemented, but it will be as soon as next week. It's for the listeners. It's for everybody that pays attention.
Need,
it's for people that want to call in. Just like old school. Remember back in the day when radio was everything?
Man.
You can call into the R&B hotline.
Talk to
and
us.
Be like, you know, I want to hear that Jodeci. You know, because I got a date tonight. I need that Jodeci.
It's so, like a dream. I need my coffee.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, I ain't even going to try to sing. I spit bars. So, yeah, you can request what you want us to talk about, questions that you have for us. You know, even if you just want to say what's up and compliment us. And if you want to criticize us, man, we football players. We used
Come
to
on,
it all.
Take it.
So
it.
The R&B hotline is part of what we got going on. So here's a quick PSA. Y'all got to subscribe, comment on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. We
all
need all
that.
The support we can get.
All that.
Hey, you know we cracked the top 20
what?
Sports podcasts.
Dog, it's not good enough, Nate. It's not good enough.
We just started.
We
I'm
in the
just,
top 5.
Bro, but it's like
we
it's
have,
like our rookie
but
year.
I'm talking about it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
All right,
okay?
Mike.
We still the best podcast.
Hey, tell them then. Tell them to send questions and thoughts.
Do your thing, guys.
Hashtag RANDB. We're at Nate13 Burleson is my Twitter.
At Real Mike Rob.
It's his Twitter. If you got music, man, give us the music. See, we just gave a young man a shot because he wrote some for us.
And y'all better go get
and
his
mixtape. And we don't have to give him a shot because he's already on. Like I said, check out what he got going on. Man. Shot Infinite.
And somebody write me some bars. I want to spit
some
bars. And Nate won't write it for me.
Well, that. But you definitely did a little singing thing.
Yeah, I do a little singing, man.
Scratchy thing is on. Yeah. So maybe I can sing on the hook and I can spit bars.
As long as I got some green tea.
All right. Well, cool. Well, listen.
Let's get into it, man.
We're going to get into it?
Let's get into it, dog.
So let's hit her beat first because, you know, it always gets us going. Hey, TD, give me something. Oh, I already feel like this is like almost like a Goody Mob.
Oh.
You remember Goody Mob?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Oh, now this got more of an island feel.
Oh.
More of a vacation.
Like when DMX went with the dude, dude in Belly down in Jamaica.
Yeah.
Getting it in.
Like this. This got that Caribbean feel. On vacation, sitting back sipping. I'm on a trip, but I'm tripping. Just listen. Oh. Listen, here are the conditions. We gonna give you something different. This is R&B.
Podcast.
Me and Mike B. Yeah, you might have seen us on TV, but now it's a podcast.
You're hype, man, bro.
Illest in the streets. TD drop the illest of the beats. This is freestyle. Just saw y'all know I ain't writing, but everything I say is so exciting. It's like lightning. You hear it. No blunders. Like lightning, so I'm coming with the thunder. No wonder he's on TV because his bars are so crazy.
Keep going, Nate.
Shout out
don't
to
stop.
The kids, shout out to the ladies. Shout out to everybody that support us and show us love. We just doing our thing. Blessings from above.
Keep
we
going,
just
Nate.
Out here
I see
tripping.
Nate. You got hot for a second, bro. You got hot for a second.
Let me stop playing. Man, let's get into it, bro. So listen, quarterbacks. What do you like as a quarterback? And I'm not talking about on the field. We've played with great quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
You've played with great quarterbacks. We're talking personality.
Yeah.
I want to know from you, Mike, right now, what do you like when you get in the huddle? What don't you like when you get in the huddle? And what do you like when you're in the locker room? And what don't you like when you're in the locker room?
First of all, in that huddle, you know, it's just us. And I always think about on an away game, we had a motto at Seattle. We all we got, we all we need. It's just us 11 guys. I need.
I'll say it again. Say it slower so people can hear.
All we got, we all we need. Mm. Right? When that quarterback walks into the huddle, when I used to walk into the huddle when I played quarterback at Penn State, when Russell walked into the huddle, whether it was Russell, Alex Smith, Trent Dilfer, all the guys I've played with, you need to come across as believable. I need you to believe in this play. I need you to come across as confident because literally the team, the offense especially, takes its identity from your quarterback most of the time. Mm. And I need my quarterback to exude all of that. If we're a tough physical team, you need to walk out there with, you know, look like your big boy pants are rolled up.
Okay.
Like you're ready for a fight. And I need a guy that's going to go out there and fight. Now, you talk about off the field.
Wait. No, because let me get my two cents. Because we're going to take it piece by piece.
Okay.
You know, because I want them to hear what I got to say about being in the huddle. You're talking from a perspective of a guy who used to play quarterback, then went to playing running back. So that's what you like. I'm very similar. Now, I played receiver, right?
Yeah.
And when I walk in the huddle, I would always think this could possibly be my play. And whoever's throwing me the ball better have the most confidence. Swag wasn't even in our urban dictionary in 03. So we weren't talking about swag. I need somebody that's confident. And to be honest, Mike, I need somebody that's cocky. I mean, I want it to spill over. You remember the old Gatorade slogan, is it in you? That's what I want to know. Is it in you? Like you said, if he's coming in and calling the play, I want him to look in everybody's eyes. And when I connect with him, I see a dude that believes in the moment more than anybody. So if there is any doubt in my mind about the play, if there's any doubt in the offensive lineman about what their responsibilities are, the running back, I need him to be very convincing. Because sometimes you know, like I know, you don't get the best call.
No.
Sometimes as soon as they start the sentence, hey, Trips White, you like, oh, here we go again.
I'm over the backside by myself. I already know they're going to roll coverage.
Right. I'm on the backside, or I'm a decoy, or why would you call this on 3rd and 3, right? Yeah. These are all these thoughts going within a split moment. But my quarterback can change all that with how he looks, how he delivers. It's almost like being confident and talking to a chick. Like, if you're walking around with that confidence and you say something that's lightweight, it's going to hit her like a heavyweight. Same thing in the huddle. I want this dude to look at me and be like, yo, here's what we got.
Was that how Dante was? Was that how Pep was?
That was exactly, and that man is who exactly I was describing. Dante Culpepper was one of the most confident players I've ever been
around. I shot dice with him. Yeah, he real confident.
Oh, right? Yeah. Listen, he used to have these get-togethers at his house. Well, you got it's all couples was invited. He used to cater the food. We got pool going on. We got poker going on.
Yeah.
He got a court. We're in there shooting free throws for money. Cats is losing anywhere from $5 to $5,000 to a couple hundred bands.
You got to write some checks.
Which is 200,000 people don't know bands is, right? You got to write some checks or some IOUs. But with all that said, it was a very competitive atmosphere. On the field, at a charity basketball game, playing golf, man, we could be – doing hopscotch. Dante be like, hey, you better believe that. I'm the best in the world. Hey, Ocala on mine. Hey, better believe Dante is the best in the world. Okay. And that confidence was something that was so contagious, bro.
Well, Stafford like that? Keep it funky.
We're going to keep it funky. No, he's different. He's a different dude. When he gets in the huddle, he doesn't need to say that. But he feels like he can make any throw in the world. So I'll give you a couple examples of the two individuals. Story time. Campfire football. Here we go. Dante, when I was having my best year and Randy Moss went down with a hamstring, I was still comfortable with being a number two. I was a number two most of my career, and I flourished in that. When Randy went down, he started talking to me like I was Randy Moss. Was I Randy Moss? No. But we get in the huddle, he give me that wink and be like, hey, Nate, I'm coming to you. We at the line of scrimmage. He surveyed the field, see what's going on. He look over, give me that nod. Just like you give a nod when you're passing somebody in the street and you tip your hat, hey, how you doing? That was his nod to me. Bro, I'm coming to you. Get busy. First few times, nervousness, anxiety. Halfway through the season, I'm giving a nod to him. Bro.
Get it.
Hey, whoop, mismatch.
Yeah.
All because he instilled that in me. Now let's go to Stafford. He gets in the huddle. He'll say something real slick like, hey, boys, can't nobody stop us. Let's go out here and get it. Very understated with his words, very selective with his words. But then he'll go out there, say I'm running a seam route.
Yeah.
For most people that don't know that, it's the guy in the slide. He's running like the inside edge of the numbers. The nickelback is guarding me. He is on the inside where the quarterback is. I'm not open. I look back. I see him cocking that thing. I'm thinking, is he going to the guy outside of me? Bro, he lets this ball rip. And in my head, split seconds within the game, I'm thinking, bro, this ball's coming. So I'm running. I'm trying not to give my eyes, because if I get my eyes in my hands, DB's going to play both. So I'm running. Mind you, the DB is looking back at Stafford when he winds up and throws this ball. Why would you throw this ball when the DB's looking at you? Ball zips past his head. I catch it. I'm like, whoa, what a pass. I go back to staff. I'm like, bro, we're on the sideline. Hey, what would compel you to throw a ball like that when that DB was looking at you and I wasn't 2 or 3 yards open? He said, I knew I can get that ball in your hands before he turned his head around. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not him saying, yo, I'm the best in the business. Yo, I'm the illest quarterback. That small sentence to me gave me goosebumps, because I'm thinking, this is a gunslinger in the true definition of that, because not a lot of QBs would take that shot. A lot of QBs be like, my guy's not open. A lot of QBs won't throw out a DB if they make eye contact.
That's true.
Stafford let that thing go, and I thought, this is a dude I want to ride with.
But see, what I took from your two stories, Nate, and I both of those quarterbacks I think are good in their own right, is – I would probably want to pay for the first guy, Dante Culpepper, because he did things. You talk, just look at what came to memory when you talked about both guys and leadership? Because that's what we're talking about, leadership at its essence, okay? You talked about Dante having people over, galvanizing, bringing people together. That's winning culture. That's bringing the guys together and connecting you on ways that the football field can't.
Right.
Your memory of Stafford was a football memory. And to me.
It's not like we didn't kick it, though.
I'm not saying you didn't.
Right.
I'm not saying
we
you
hung
didn't.
Out.
I'm not saying
he's
you didn't.
He's had events. He's had Halloween parties at his house.
I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Okay.
All
right.
All I'm saying
I
is
get what
the
you're saying,
first
though.
Thing that came – and that's to me, that's important.
Right.
Because I love Alex Smith, but I played with Alex Smith early in my career. When he stepped in the huddle, I'm literally – my rookie year, I had not played a down in this league. But as soon as he stepped in the league, as soon as he stepped in the huddle, I'm saying, whoa, we're going to lose. I didn't believe him.
Really?
I didn't believe him. And again, I was fresh off of being a quarterback. I mean,
and
literally.
This ain't a knock to Alex.
No, it's not. Not a knock. And I haven't been in a huddle with Alex for years.
Right.
I'm sure it's different now. You know, I saw Russell Wilson his rookie year when he stepped in the huddle, and you know, you can see Matt Flynn kind of over his shoulder, mad because he's stepping in the first team huddle. You know what I mean? You see Russell step in the huddle, he's stuttering instead of thing. You're like, dang. We definitely got us a rookie. How are we going to get through this? Now, you saw the growth through the season. And then that next year in 2013, we won a Super Bowl. He's stepping in the huddle laughing. Like, hey, y'all boys ready? Huh? He's rubbing his hands together.
Which made you feel good.
And you sitting there like, oh, we finna do something special.
Right.
We finna do something special again. It's just you saw the growth of the guy. You talk about quarterbacks. You know, Aaron Rodgers, he's that cool that confidence that's just like, man, I can see that my quarterback is so good that just the fact that he's out there is confidence to me.
Yeah.
What's in the news right now? Your boy Johnny Manziel.
Okay?
I don't know from a demeanor standpoint or from a leadership standpoint if I can have this guy as my starting quarterback. And I'm not talking about front office, Nate. I'm not talking about front office. I'm not talking about coach. I'm talking about from a player, right?
Right.
Because for you to, first of all, make a statement and say that you're just going to do this and you say you're just going to chill on your bye week, just getting it out there. He said a few last week that for his bye week.
And the video came out of him in the club with a bottle. It wasn't even open.
You're right. And look, we agree. He may not have had a drink.
Right.
I don't necessarily
know.
I don't know.
Right.
But he may not have had anything. But if I'm a player on the Cleveland Browns right now, I got to think, hey, if my quarterback doesn't have the gall, okay, to say, let me think about this before I let this guy with this cell phone videotape me and I play to the camera. Let me think about this before I don't care whether you're supporting a champagne company. I don't care what you're doing. Let me think about this because I am in the public eye. I do live in a microscope. I'm sorry. I can't help it.
I got you. So you're just saying the decision not to – be in that situation.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying don't have
but
fun.
But see, we're
Nate.
Different. We're different, Mike, because I don't care. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do off the field. As long as on Sundays you come in with it. That's me. That's my personality. I hope you don't care what I do. As long as when I show up and I put that jersey on and we click-clack them buttons on the side of our helmet, you looking at me like, are you ready to go? Cool. Because when that play pops off, those 6 seconds, the average play lasts 6 seconds. I ain't thinking about what I did this weekend. I can't even remember what I ate for breakfast. I'm so locked in the moment. So why would I care what you did on your bye week?
Let me check this out. Check this out. On Wednesday, they put a new play in for you, right? You're a little hurt. You're a little banged up because you had a tough Sunday. Coach says, Nate, for this one play, man, I'm gonna need a rep. I'm going to need a game rep out of you. My guy behind this center, he needs to see you because it needs This is our timing day.
Right.
Okay? You go out there and you do it. And my point of saying that is what you do during the week, what you do in the past will affect on Sunday. And I say that because your coach is answering questions about it.
That's true.
Players are going to have to answer questions about it. Yeah. I don't really care really what my quarterback does or Johnny Manziel does in his free time. I do care when it's taking energy away from my head coach who should be having his head on our defensive scheme and our last-ranked run defense.
Yeah.
Because our coach is answering questions about Johnny. Now my coach has to answer questions about our future because Josh McCown definitely ain't the future. And so now I have to put Johnny Manziel as second or third on the depth chart because He made a stupid decision, and now I can't truly evaluate him for our future.
I got you. I got you.
You get what I'm saying? You see how all these decisions start to pile up on each other?
Right.
And that is my issue with Johnny Manziel, man. Like, dude, you have to think more than that. You have to think past just the gratification of being in this club and people being able to take pictures of you.
Okay.
You have to think past the fact that, yeah, I'm 22, I'm 23 years old. That's my excuse to party and mess up.
Man, listen, it ain't his excuse. It's the reason, bro. Like, he's a rock star. If Johnny's a rock star, then let him live that. Mike, I played for 11 years.
Yeah.
And there were times I thought, this is the illest job on earth.
Yeah.
You score a touchdown, 65,000 people get on their feet. You go to a restaurant, hey, how you doing, Mr. Burleson? We're full today, but I got you. Let me clean off a table.
Love it.
Somebody tips his glass to you. Next thing you know, your bill's covered. You walk into a club in Vegas, lines out the door, the bouncer recognizes you and be like, bro, I've been a fan. I love what you do in the community. Come on in. Rock star lifestyle might not make it.
Nate,
that's what I'm just
saying.
Like, take advantage of the moment.
I'm going to feel your Nate,
what are you pulling back for?
Nate.
Oh, just because he's a quarterback. If Johnny was a DB? Will we be having this conversation? No.
No.
Okay, then. So why do we put all this pressure on quarterbacks that they can't
do? Because they make $20 million a year, Nate. That's why. That's why I put the pressure on him.
Okay.
Okay?
I can dig it.
With that comes responsibility, bro.
Right.
You can't sit out here and make the job that we do
I agree with that.
You just can't do it.
There's certain things about this conversation I don't agree with, but I will agree with you on this. You are saying that because it is the quarterback position, you're held to a higher standard.
You have to be.
It's different.
And Johnny Manziel knew that when he was in college and he signed some things and he got suspended. We all signed some stuff. Why did Johnny get suspended? Because he's a quarterback. Because he's Johnny Manziel. Okay? And going back to the lifestyle thing, isn't that our problem?
Okay. You're right.
Isn't that the issue?
Okay.
Guys fall in love with the rock star status. They fall in love with the groupers. They fall in love with the lines of girls outside the hotels. They fall in love with all the likes on social media and things like that. Which one of those skills are sustainable? One of those things are sustainable?
None of them.
Actually having perspective, actually thinking.
Within the rock star lifestyle,
yeah,
having perspective
yeah,
within
actually
it.
Actually having perspective thinking, hey, maybe I don't do this because I may not start again if I go to this club tonight. Of course they're going to be cameras there. I'm Johnny Manziel. I am a rock star.
Okay,
I
feel you.
Have a party at your house and make sure all the cell phones stay at the front of the
That's
door.
That's true. Hey, check them sales. I get you. That's facts. All right, well, we're going to touch on some more quarterbacks and personalities
we would
like to play with. But, TD, let me get some.
Oh.
What you think? What you think about this one?
They sound like one of your boy Justin Bieber.
Oh, man.
You know, got a little pop edge to it.
Okay. Hey, listen. Yeah, we talking quarterbacks.
Oh.
I ain't trying to slack like getting dressed up. Get it? I ain't trying to slack. If I give you my money, then give me my quarterback.
Hey. Oh.
Just keep it popping, no stopping. I'm just rocking, doing my thing. I'm always clocking. I got the early
hype, man.
Actually, it's perpetual. Anybody want a trip, baby girl? I'm intellectual. Yeah. That's what I meant to say.
I rap like baby. I just game.
Chill. What?
Game spit.
Oh, game spit.
Yeah. So while the music is playing, I'm just talking
some knowledge.
Yeah. Game spitter.
It's kind of like Diddy. Diddy be dropping knowledge.
Hey, man. You got him paid.
Still
just
getting
saying.
Paid.
Just
we'll
saying.
Talk about that a little later. So now we're going to stick to this. This is going to be a quarterback-driven podcast.
Okay.
Let's stick to it. Now, you got quarterbacks. I'm going to just throw a few out there. There's tons in the league, obviously. Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, Cam Newton, okay, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Just off of pure thought. And guys that you haven't heard me say, right, in that collection of individuals, who would you want to play with?
I mean, and we're looking at the entire.
No, don't give me all that. Don't dance around it.
I'm not dancing around it.
I'm just saying answer the question.
More personality-wise, I mean, you know what? You talk about personality. It's hard to go against Tom Brady. It just is. It seems like he stays it seems like the mindset of being that sixth-round pick, waiting for his name to be called, has never left him. And it's weird because usually when guys get paid, the humility goes away. Usually when guys get paid, the drive goes away. Usually when the MVPs come in, the drive goes away. The Super Bowl wins come in, the drive goes away. This guy seems to always have a chip on his shoulder. Okay, he seems to always respond to adversity. Again, in our game, two things that are guaranteed is injury and adversity. And this guy continues to overcome adversity. You take away his best receiver, I'm still going to beat you.
So
take away my best back, I'm still going to beat you.
Is that because you identify with that story?
You pump my footballs up. You pump my footballs up, I'm still going to beat you. It don't matter.
Allegedly.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to the Patriots for the alleged leadness that's been going on for years.
Straight up.
So listen, you know, TD got some notes on here. So here's some attachments to some of these names. Brady, cold. Rivers, fiery. Rodgers, cool. Cam, swag. Jameis, charismatic. Johnny Manziel, unserious maybe? Like Russell Wilson?
Johnny Manziel is immature.
Let's play. Okay, so.
Johnny Manziel is immature.
Let's play the name game. I'm going to say something. You just, whatever pops in your head.
Man, don't do me like this.
Russell Wilson.
Square.
Kaepernick. No, I feel you. It's not in a bad way.
Yeah.
Like square in the sense of a guy that does everything right.
Square,
and I know he's probably heard it 1,000 times fold, but I've watched commercials, and to be honest, I'll be like, yo, I let him marry my daughter. That's the kind of guy you want. There's probably men out there like, you know, I would like him to date my daughter. You know, like that's the one you would want sitting next to you at Thanksgiving. Not square in a bad way. You know, I'm not trying to like. You know, whatever. You can describe it as you however you want, but that was kind of funny, though. Kaepernick.
Ooh. Just from what I see, I don't really know him that well.
You're going to stop prefacing all this stuff.
I would say weird. Socially weird.
Socially awkward?
Yeah. Well, just because, I mean, you see the press conference, and I know a lot of that he's trying to, you know, do whatever toward the
maybe people. Refrain from saying things you don't want to say?
Yeah, but
– Do you think there's a social disconnect between him and his squad?
No, he has a social issue.
Socially awkward.
Yeah, and I know this for a fact. You know, I used to play there, and I didn't play with him, but you know I still got guys you – know, just trust me, I know.
Well, this
can't
is.
You can't walk around the building with your headphones on the whole time and not talk to anybody and say that you're the quarterback.
That's a social disconnect with
that's
your team and organization.
Disconnect. I'm just.
You're right. Now I wouldn't want that either.
You can't.
Like, that's not cool.
You
when you're a family, that's just like my son. He walking around with his phone all day.
Oh no!
I might slap it out his hand. And be like, look, Nate, put that. We at dinner. Don't you reach in your pocket and grab that phone?
Nah, bro. Nah.
Headphones in the house. You crazy? You can't even lock a door around here. Get a whooping. Old school. Hey, listen, though. Okay, so we're going to a couple more, and then we're going to keep talking about this. Peyton Manning? Eli Manning?
Which one would I want, or are you talking about words to describe him?
Both.
Which one would I want? I want Eli. Yes, I want Eli.
Okay, not right now. At the height of their careers.
At the height of their career, Eli was winning Super
Mike,
Bowls.
Hey, excuse my language, but you are a damn fool.
What?
Listen,
are
bro.
Are you kidding me?
Peyton Manning at the height of his career? One of the most cerebral, intelligent quarterbacks in his game?
Yeah.
That can drop back and hit you with a floater, or he can drop it on a dime, which
fantasy,
I call loose change all over the
football,
field.
Don't you? You play fantasy football, don't you?
No, I don't play fantasy football.
Because Peyton has always been a fantasy
It's not a numbers thing to me, Mike.
Fantasy, yes, it is. Because if it was a championship thing, the numbers say Eli.
You won a championship. That's important to you.
So, whoa. Don't say it, Nate. You know I'm going to jump on it. Are you telling me you didn't play this game to win championships?
Nah, I played to win the game.
Okay.
Right.
Exactly. So,
I'm just
come on now.
But how are you going to say that Eli, because he got one more championship than his brother, is a better quarterback? Now, let's keep it all real. This is the podcast. They're both really good quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm not taking
And some could describe
Peyton.
Him as
I'm,
great.
Yeah,
I know for sure Peyton is a living legend. Eli got some time to go because
he's
younger.
I'm not taking nothing away from Peyton. All I'm saying is I need my quarterback to perform when things don't go right. I need my quarterback at his best.
You're saying that
At the biggest part of adversity, and that's playoffs, Nate.
But
that's playoffs, bro.
You're saying that because you guys beat the brakes off of the Broncos.
Has nothing to do with me
in that Super Bowl.
I felt like this before I played the Broncos. Where did Peyton win in college? He was the number one. He was one of the number one pick. Did he win a national title? No.
Did Eli?
No.
Okay.
But
then
he won a Super Bowl. Two of them.
All right. Cool.
That's what I'm saying. Right, no, that's why we play this game.
You're right. I mean, there's stuff we just don't agree on, which is cool. This is the reason why R&B exists.
I'm telling you.
We can talk all day about that. Hey, TD, do I got a beat? Because I kind of want something. Or do you want to bring in some conversation?
We got Ryan coming here in a second. But before we get to him, just really quick, what do you guys think about Jameis? You know, they've won a couple games here in a row. He's already leading the huddle. What do you guys think about Jameis and his personality?
I'm going to tell you like this. One of the most charismatic dudes I've ever seen.
Right.
Okay. And the thing about Jameis, and I had a chance to be around him at the rookie symposium, Nate, it's so natural. He does not try.
Yeah.
To be cool with
everybody.
He doesn't
force the issue.
He comes in, he's with that big old smile, he may crack a joke, and everybody just start laughing, and you just want to be around him. He's a quarterback I would love to play for.
Speaking of that, the charismatic attitude of this young man, we have a locker room speech that we got audio of. Let's run that.
That's how you overcome adversity. I told you. The team that wanted the most was going to pull that game off. Yeah, defense, yeah. You kick that. Yeah. You kick that. Yeah. Offense, we kept fighting, baby. Yeah. We kept fighting. Yeah. If we keep doing that, yeah. If we give all we got, yeah. If we have each other back, yeah. We're going to go 7-0 on these. Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, bro. Listen, first of all, let's just be clear. He's a rookie. Rookies don't do that. Rookies don't take command of locker rooms like that.
You hear the claps in the background?
Oh, I was just about to say that.
You hear everybody hype about it?
While he's talking, almost like a pastor preaching in church, people enthused, locked in. That's good stuff right there.
And I talk about this. Same thing with coaches. Leaders on your team or quarterbacks are the same way, okay? There are people out here, Nate, who understand how to have conversations. But then there are people out here who understand how to speak to men. Okay, there's certain coaches who don't really understand how to speak to men. There's certain coaches who do. The successful ones understand. Jameis, that speech what we just heard, that's a young kid speaking to men. That's a young man speaking to the souls of men in that locker room.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And he's speaking. You can hear it in his voice. It's like, man, I'm in the bunker with you. Just because I play quarterback don't mean it's separated. I'm in the bunker with you. And that's what you want. You want a quarterback who is out there fighting right along beside you.
The future is so bright for that young man in that organization. They did the right thing by picking Jameis. He fits the mold of where they want to go. All right, so next up, we have an interview.
Dude.
That is something that everybody should pay attention to. Joining us is the director of Creed, which comes out this Thursday.
I'm going to see it.
This dude is a very, very special young African-American talent.
I'm going to text him now.
So as we transition into our interview with them, check out what Felicia Rashad, Mix Huxtable, as we know, Michael B. Jordan, and, of course, Sylvester Stallone had to say about Ryan Coogler and just how talented he is.
Ryan Coogler is one of the most interesting people I've met in a very long time.
From Fruitvale to this one, a couple other projects that we have that we're working on to do together, I found my counterpart and a director that really understands us, understands me, and vice versa.
He's one of those sorts of types of directors, a new breed of director, that is a real auteur. And that's hard to do.
His knowledge is vast. His vision, very broad and deep.
Oh, man. We're going to talk about inspirational.
Man.
Listen, we are joined by a very, very special guest, young, award-winning. You could say he's on the come up.
He there.
I would just say he's here, bro.
He there, man.
He's knocking down the doors. Director of Creed, Ryan Coogler, is joining the R&B podcast. We are humbled to introduce you. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
I'm honored to be on the line with you guys, man. really exciting. It's exciting to see what you guys have done in your careers, man, and transitioning into media. You know, it's really, really, really exciting. So I'm fired up to be on here with you guys.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it, man. This real Mike Rob, man. And I'm just going to jump right into it, bro. Jump right into it, man. Look, obviously you weren't born when the Rocky series came out, you know. But talk about how this franchise has affected your life. Talk about from your experiences as a childhood, from your childhood, and how it went into this movie.
Yeah, you know, I'm from Oakland, California, man. I was real fortunate that I had great parents, and my dad and mom got married young, had me young, and I grew up watching these movies. Those were my dad's favorite movies, and I can't remember not knowing, you know, who Rocky Balboa was, who Apollo Creed was, because I was always watching him, and what my pops would do, he got me and my little brothers into playing sports, you know, real early, you know, and whenever I had like a football game in Pop Warner, you know, high school, he'll say, hey, sit down, man, watch these couple minutes at his Rocky right quick, so you can get pumped up, you know, and he would always cry, you know, at certain parts of it, he'll jump off the couch and get fired up at certain parts, and I always wondered, you know, why that was. You know, my dad was real strong, and he was known out here in East Oakland for being a great athlete, you know, and he still, you know, still was strong enough to hold me with one hand and pick me up and carry me around, you know. So I always wondered, you know, what these movies kind of had over him to make him become so, you know, so emotional while watching him. And when I got older, you know, he told me about how he used to watch the movies with his mom when she was sick and dying of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, she died when my dad was 18. And so I never got a chance to meet her, but you know, it was cool to know that it was this legacy that was kind of passed down, this tradition that he was, you know, that he was passing down without really even being conscious of it. Yeah. And then you know, and when I'm, you know, I played football. I went to Sacramento State.
Okay, we know, bro. Okay. We know.
Yeah, wide out. Okay.
and then you know, got accepted in the graduate school for filmmaking after my last year. So I went down to L.A. You know, did that, and it was funny because my dad didn't want me to do it. He wanted me to keep playing. He wanted me to keep playing football. He didn't understand, you know, paying all that money and moving to LA to do something that he didn't really see that panning out. You know what I mean? So I remember that was a big fight we got into, man. But he was still supportive, and when I was getting done with school, getting ready to make Fruitvale, you know, my dad got really, really sick, and he contracted a neuromuscular disease where he was having trouble, like his muscles were atrophying. Basically, his skeletal muscles were atrophying, and all of a sudden, somebody who I knew was being so strong had become weak. Yeah. You know, and I had to still be there for him, but our relationship changed as a result, and it made me sad. You know, and it kind of out of that sadness, man, I came up with this idea of something like that happening to his character. You know, and that's kind of how I came up with the idea of what would become this movie. But it was really just a movie, you know, about me and my dad for my dad.
Man, just hearing you talk, man, you hit a variety of things that are going in our communities, man, if you understand what I'm saying. And obviously, I have a foundation. I work in the community. Nate does things in the community. Most of the people in the black urban community, they think that they have to be a football player, basketball player, or a rapper. You know how it is.
Yeah. You
know,
that's all you see.
That's all you see.
Or something else, right?
Or a drug dealer, you know, on the streets. You know what I mean? So just, you know, I know you talked about your path, man, but how gratifying is it to be so successful, so young? And no, yeah, you're in the entertainment business, but you're not a rapper. You know what I mean? You're not out here catching footballs, banging your head up against the wall. You know what I mean? And you're successful, man. Talk about the example or the responsibility you feel in the community.
I mean, I think it's important, man. And, you know, it's for me, it's interesting because I grew up with dudes that did all of those things. You know what I'm saying? Like my younger brother raps and makes music. You know, I grew up with cats that are dead. A lot of my friends are incarcerated right now. A lot of my closest friends.
Yeah, man.
You know, I used to play football myself. I played it from the age of, you know, from the age of 7 to the age of 21. So I kind of, you know, saw all of those things. And I was when I discovered filmmaking, you know, and discovered that I had a passion for it, the thing that got me the most excited about it was the potential of longevity. Mm. You know what I mean? Like this idea that, you know, oh my God, there's this career that I could do until my 80s if I'm fortunate to live that long.
Man,
you know?
That's the message, like, right there, man.
And, And you know, with football, like we, you know, we were just talking about some of the cats we came up with, man. Like in football, when you, it was such a weird thing to hear people say, because in the filmmaking industry, they often tell me how young I am, but I don't look at myself as being young. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm 29. If I was still playing football, I'd be an OG on the football team.
Yeah,
like, I'd be ready to collect the pension. Or if I, you know, out here in the streets, 29, you old. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of cats don't see that. So it's something I had to kind of like rework my head. And in that process, I realized that one of the symptoms of all of the things we struggle with and we deal with being black men is our short-sightedness. You know what I'm saying? Like we don't. It's so difficult to see. You know, it was hard for me to imagine myself at 30 years old or imagine myself at 40 years old. I was fortunate enough to have my dad, and I could kind of see. You know, when he got to 40, I was like, oh, okay, that's what that's like. When he got to 50, I was like, okay, that's what that's like. You know, I didn't really have nobody else though. You know what I'm saying? Like so. It's one of those things where you kind of do what you see. So it's an honor to be able to show, you know, young men like myself that it's this whole other thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, you guys are doing it yourselves too. I mean, y'all got a podcast, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Fuck y'all.
Like I told you, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Like I told you, man, like just to have you on here and give us microphones and we talking and people listening, it's a blessing. So I identify with you 100%. Now, let's get back to Creed. You talked about the legacy of the Rocky movies. I want to know, like, how did you get Sylvester Stallone on board and what's your vision for this franchise? And then what was it like? You know, I played with greats. I played with Randy Moss and Calvin Johnson.
Like a great.
Those were greats. Like, now you're working with legendary actors, legendary producers, a legendary figure like Sylvester Stallone. What was it like to just see him every day and talk to him and kind of soak up some of that knowledge?
Yeah, I could take it from the start. I met him because I pitched the idea. Like I got signed to an agency, which is called WME, and they rep talent and they try to package films. You know, they might represent a director or an actor. You know, and they often ask, you know, what's your next project? You know, because that's how they make their money. They make their money while you continually work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when I got signed for Fruitvale, you know, they helped put Octavia Spencer in the movie, and then they wanted to know what was next. So I pitched to another black man, an agent, Charles King, and I got an agent named Craig Castell. I told them about this movie that I had, this idea that I had about my relationship with my father, with Frank in the Rocky world. And they got excited about it. They introduced me to an agent who worked with Stallone for decades. And I told him about it. And he was like, man, this is cool. You know, I want to get you to sit down with Sly and see if he wants to do it. So eventually, you know, right before I got ready to shoot Fruitvale Station, I had to fly down to Los Angeles and meet with Stallone and pitch him the idea right there in the room.
That's dope, man.
And, I was nervous, man, but I didn't have anything to lose. You know, and I talked to him about it. And a lot of people don't know about Stallone is that he wrote, you know, every single Rocky that there is. And he directed four of the six that had been done before. You know, so it was really very much his baby. You know, it was very personal to him. So he was apprehensive, you know, especially with the idea of Rocky being seen as weak. You know what I mean? And succumbing to this illness. You know, he was nervous about that. But we just kept talking through, man. And then Fruitvale came out. He saw that. He liked that. You know, he met Mike. And we just kept talking. And as far as like working with a legend, man, you know, it's interesting because I'm not an actor myself. Like, so it's not the same as maybe being on a field, maybe on a field with Calvin Johnson, being on the field with these legendary players. But it was more like it's like being like a coach. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's probably like with Mike Tomlin, you know, inherited Jerome Bettis.
Oh.
You know, and when he got hired on, and you got this great dude that, you know what I'm saying, you got to work with. Who you know, it was kind of like that kind of vibe, man. And I just gave him all the respect that he deserved. And a big thing for me was taking everything else off his shoulders. I just wanted him to worry about the acting. You know what I'm saying? Because he's such a good actor. But he usually has to act, produce, direct, you know, do his own stunts and choreograph. I wanted him to take all the rest of that away and then put all his energy towards the performance. You know, and I think he was able to put something out that he's proud of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, mate. You talk about Michael B. Jordan, man, being your homie. Was there anybody else you thought about for Adonis Creed, or was it always Mike from?
Was you thinking like a Nate Burleson? Oh, possibly. Lord,
see, look, Nate thinks that in a movie about Nate, that Mike B would play
so
Nate.
Bad. I did say this a couple weeks ago. They asked me who would play me in the movie, and I said Michael B. Jordan.
Come on,
because
nasty,
you know, my family's from the Bay. Fruitvale Station hit home. crazy.
Yeah, my wife
crazy. Like, we ain't here talking this talking, like looking at paperwork like, oh, let's talk about Fruitvale, and we ain't seen it. Like, we seen that, and we can appreciate your work. But like Mike said, talk about Michael B. Jordan and his role, not only as an actor, but as a friend.
Yeah, so you know, like I said, around the time I was figuring out this movie, I was already going on Fruitvale, so I had met Mike, and we become close very fast, man. He's actually, you know, he actually crazy enough. He actually texted me right now. Yeah. You see that?
Hey, well, tell him I said what's up.
Tell
man.
Him I said what's up.
Tell him I'm working on this script and I need him. You know what I'm saying? He got slimmed down though. I ain't really that swole anymore. So
So I met Mike. Mike's from Newark, man. And like the thing about us, man, is that you know, pretty much every inner city, man, it's got kind of the same politics. You know
facts,
what I'm saying?
Facts.
He's just a year younger than I am, so we hit it off. You know, we had a lot of strange similarities, man. Like, you know, he had both his parents in his life. They got married young and stayed together. So he had two siblings. You know, I got two siblings. You know what I'm saying? It's just that kind of look where, you know, we just hit it off, man. And it became very easy to work together. It was like working with a friend. It wasn't work anymore. You know what I'm saying? Showing up to hang out with my boys, basically what I was doing on Fruitvale. So when Creed started going, it was no doubt in my mind. And that's just, you know, all of that is taken away from how talented he is, man. Yeah. He's you know, I think he's the best actor of our generation, man. Ooh. You know what I'm saying?
That's strong, man.
And I say that not just as a black actor, but just as an actor. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's really talented. And he's got a great work ethic. I mean, he reminds me a lot of, like, for athletic comparison, man. He's like a LeBron, man. He's somebody who has all of the physical gifts, you know, all of the intangibles that you can't, you know, LeBron didn't have any control over being how tall he is.
Right,
or,
right,
you
right.
Know, have, you know, he kind of earned that. But then the stuff that he does have control over, you know, he just excels 100%, like crazy work ethic. You know, Mike is crazy competitive. He wants to win. He wants to be the best at all times, so much that, you know, one of my jobs as a director is to protect him from himself. Mm. You know what I'm saying? He's the guy that does a boxing movie. He wants to get punched in the face 10 times so that the performance is good. And I gotta be the one to tell him, hey, Mike, man, you know, we gotta do these movie punches so you don't got a concussion by day two. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So you know, that's what kind of guy he is, though.
So along with you being an award-winning director, you are one of us. You know, you're a wide receiver.
Athlete.
And I say one of me because I'm a receiver.
Man, I played wide out before. Come on, man. Check my bio, dog. Check my bio.
We're talking Pop Warner, bro. We're talking about cats who did on a high level.
What?
I'm saying Sacramento
State. Check my college.
State.
Check my college. Right. Penn State.
Are you gonna
I led the Big Ten.
Are you going to let
I'm
me get through
saying,
this?
You ain't going to disrespect me. I don't care who on Skype.
Hey, I am kind of showing out in front of company. My bad, bro.
Come
my
on,
bad.
Dog.
My bad. I'm showing out in front of company. You right. I'm saying, all right, my bad. Okay, but Ryan, 112 receptions. Over 1,200 yards, 6 touchdowns. You know, you talked about it earlier, football being something you fell in love with and your father, you know, being one of your biggest coaches and influences. But now your goals are different. Like you said, there's longevity in this. And we ask this question to anybody we have as a guest. What is your goals? What's next? Fruitvale, boom, came out and shedded a light on a very personal situation that was real, that happened, that was recorded, that social media took a hold of, and you made a movie and made it real to everybody. Now you got Creed, and it's a tremendous movie on a tremendous franchise.
I grew up on Creed.
What's
up on the Rockies.
Next? Like, what's like, next for you, bro? What's your goals?
I'm not sure yet. I mean, I say, like, I got no project specifically that I know I'm doing just yet. What I do know is that I want to continue to work, you know, and continue to do things that are very meaningful to me personally, man. Like, the thing about making movies as compared to sports, man, is that it takes forever, bro. Like, you know, like this movie I've been working on for like two and a half years, man. Uh-huh. And as a writer director, you there for every stage of the process. Whereas the actors kind of come and go, the cinematographer comes and goes, the sound designers, you know, come and go. You know, I'm there forever, and it's kind of like, you know, my motivation has to motivate everybody. So it's whatever I do next is it will be a project that keeps me up at night. It makes me excited. You know what I mean? And in terms of just professional goals, man, I love to make a production company so I can help other filmmakers, do that thing, get their ideas out there, get their projects out there, and not just filmmaking, because I think that, you know, media is going to take on so many more forms, man, with technology.
Right.
So podcasts and you know, television, all these different things I think are going to merge together. And we'll see another golden age of media soon, you know. So I like to be involved in that. But the biggest thing for me is just community activism as well, man. I want to you know, you let the professional side of it fund that stuff.
Yeah, I'm just saying we could do something called the R&B podcast movie. You know what I'm saying?
Podcast episode. You know, sitcom,
whatever. I'm just throwing that out.
Just throwing it out there. I mean, just, you know, no pressure.
Hey, to be honest with you guys, though, man, like I mean, I think it's a documentary there in terms of, you know, what these athletes that make it out of where we're from and achieve this high level of success like you guys have. Yeah. What do you do when you retire at 30?
Oh,
you
know, man, look, dude.
What do you do with your life?
We don't have enough time for that. But, look, trust me, bro. I get about, and me and Nate talked about it before, I get about 4 or 5 calls a month from ex-guys saying, dude, how do you do it? How did you prepare? And I always tell people, you got to have perspective, man. Like, you got to think ahead. You can't just say the NFL is the end-all goal and I don't have to work anymore. Are you kidding me? I'm a Super Bowl champion, played Pro Bowl, all that, and I'm 32. You can't make that the goal. It has to be a stepping stone.
Yeah.
And it's just a blessing, man, to hear another guy in a whole other realm kind of doing the same. I got another football question for you. You played before. Who's the most notable guy that you either played with or played against, somebody that our fans may know?
Oh, man, I grew up with Marshawn, man. I played against Marshawn in high school when he was at Tech. And I was at St. Mary's. I won a few cats. I scored 2 touchdowns on Marshawn.
Oh.
He was playing DB. And I picked him off when he ran a halfback pass.
Yeah.
We ended up tying in the game, man. I would say Marshawn is without question, man.
I like how you answered the question.
Yeah.
Threw his stats out there.
He threw all his stats out there.
I scored twice.
Keep in mind, he tore us up, man. Like,
he tore everybody up.
First play from scrimmage, man. Me and Steve, who you know from Nevada, we was chasing. You know, touchdown, man. You know, he was exceptional. But I mean, I played against Marshawn again in college when I was with Sac State in 2000. I guess that was 2000. I guess that was 2005.
Oh.
And it was also Deshaun Jackson's first college.
Yeah,
game. Yeah. Oh, and, okay. And so I played against Marshawn when he was a sophomore, and it was D Jackson. First college game, D-Jax had 2 touchdowns as a true freshman.
So, so y'all know you love sports, you know, and you've met some celebrities, you've met some athletes, but who haven't you met? And not just football, but maybe in football, basketball, whatever. Who haven't you met that you would like to meet? That you know that you're a fan of.
Man, I got a couple people, man. Like Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, got to.
And I don't know how well he's doing, man. You know, like folks haven't seen him out too much.
Yeah.
You know, but that would be an honor. And it was another guy who I wanted to meet who passed away recently. I wanted to Philip Seymour Hoffman was like my favorite actor.
And then he
passed away before I had a chance to meet him. And I still haven't met Denzel yet.
Yeah. You ain't met Denzel?
I still ain't met Denzel yet, man.
You met Denzel?
No, I met his son.
I met his son one time.
No, that's close though.
I ain't played football. Denzel either, man.
Look, another football question. I think I know who you gonna say, but if you had to pick a wideout, Amari Cooper or Odell Beckham Jr.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now you in Oakland now. I'm just
damn,
saying
you can't go against the town.
I gotta go to Amari. I'll let Mike B pick Odell. Mike B the Giants fan.
Town business.
Yeah.
That's what's up. That's
an easy one, Rob.
All right, man. Well, listen, last question. You know, I want to give you an opportunity to tell the people listening and watching something that they don't know about you, something that they can't Google and find out, you know, watching the interview.
Oh, I'll tell you, man, my fiance was a bigger athlete than I was.
Mine's too.
Yeah.
Okay.
When we grew up out here, like if you was to ask somebody who knew Bay Area sports, When we came up, when I got my scholarship, she was like 3 times as well known as I was. She ran an 800.
Oh,
ended up going to Fresno State, you know, in the WAC like yourself, Nate. She won the whole WAC in the 800 her junior year.
That's crazy. Man. You know what's crazy about that is I met my wife. She was the big dog on campus, was running hurdles.
Look at that.
Better athlete
than
me. Listen, and she won hurdles at the University of Nevada. Arena.
Oh, higher learning guys. Man, I see you.
Hey, we got to set up this combine, though, with the wifey. You know what I'm saying? We got to set it up.
Man.
Okay.
Still got it, brother. But she definitely still competitive, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up.
Yeah, we'll definitely still be walking somewhere, and I'll be like, man, let's race. And she'll just, bam.
On call. On she call. Got it on call.
Hey, well, listen, Ryan, I appreciate it. And, you know, all BS aside, man, we are truly honored to have
man,
you
thanks,
on here.
Man, thanks, bro. It's an honor, dog. Like, definitely, man, you're an inspiration, bro. I mean, you're younger than me, man, but still, dog, what you doing, the pathway you did it, the circumstances, everything around it, man, you're a really thoughtful brother, man. Keep doing your thing.
Time Magazine, 30 man. People, under 30, most influential figures. Like, I mean,
I'm saying,
you know, when athletes get on there, we got to say they stats. I gotta tell my boy stats. Like, people got to know, man. But like Mike said, man, we're honored. It was an inspiration to talk to you. I'm going to get your number because I want to be in the movie, bro. Yeah, and like bro, I said.
Y'all both take it, man. I'll give it to y'all.
Okay, yeah. That's what's up. Hey, Mike, what's the name? We might be in there, baby. hey, all right, bro. Hey, be easy, man. And thanks, man. Thanks for joining us. Much appreciated to Ryan Coogler.
Dude is amazing, inspiring, man. I mean, if you're a young person right now, under 30,
yeah,
check that dude out, what he's all about. Check that interview out.
Unbelievable.
I mean, unbelievable.
Bro. Unbelievable. A big, huge thank you. Hey, yo, TD, for those that don't know, give us a beat.
There you go.
They don't know that you got beats on deck. How would you describe this one?
This is like
kind of got some. It kind of got a little West Coast joint to it.
It's kind of like we used to be that group with Cube and Dub C and yeah, this sound like one of their songs. Yeah.
Oh, this is that West Coast.
Remember that?
The 213?
213?
West Side Connection. That's what you're talking
about. That's what I'm talking about.
Get a gang. BB gang. Hey, West Coast. West Coast. Throw your dubs up.
But I'm from the East Coast. Sorry, guys.
Hey.
Got to do it. I got to rep my city.
Shout out to all the West Coast music that's lit right now.
I spent my entire career on the West Coast.
Bro, Kendrick Lamar game, all that
doing
fire.
That documentary, too.
Speaking of fire, speaking of the West Coast where we are here in California, Los Angeles, and how you can reach us out here, TD, we mentioned the R&B hotline. Can you tell the people a little bit right now what the R&B hotline is so they hit to it?
All right, in the future, for our future shows, we want you guys to chime in your comments and your questions. So setting this up in the future, myself and D'Angelo, we're going to be taking calls. We're going to be taking calls from you guys, the listener. We're going to just reach out to us on Twitter, at Nate13 Burleson, at Real Mike Rob, and at Producer TD. Hit me up. I'll get you on the line. You're going to ask these guys a question, a comment, or whatever the case may be. And that's all it is. So it'll be like a nice 10-second comment, your question right from you to these guys
on the
show.
You get to talk directly.
You'll be on the show.
They'll be on the show. We'll play their audio and then we'll respond. That's gonna be
the R&B hotline, man. So moving forward for the future, start sending your start hitting me up on Twitter and then we'll make it work.
You can call me on my hotline.
Hey. Oh, don't do the bling dance. Come all right, on, so man. Listen.
How you gonna stay?
It's a wrap.
Mess me up.
It's a wrap. This is episode 5. Of the R&B podcast. Huge thanks to Ryan Coogler. Go check out Creed in theaters November 25th.
Go spend that money, man. Don't illegally download it. Go and act.
Shout out to our
money.
Production team, everybody behind the
TD,
glass, TD,
Thugger.
D'Angelo, Thugger, and everybody else back there. And, of course, you, the listener, please remember to subscribe on iTunes, comment, retweet, spread the word. With R&B, hashtag R.
You gonna go off
A-N-D-B.
You gonna go off like a
give me a beat.
The Soul Train, how he used to go off.
Soul Train.
You remember Soul Train?
Oh, no, you talking about
Man, we're
what about Russell Simmons,
you
be like
about to show off.
Thanks for coming off. Thanks for coming off. God bless you. Good night. That was on Def Comedy
Jam. That's Def Comedy.
I like the smoothness.
Oh.
Can I give him a little something? What should I hit him in? What should I rap about?
Sound like?
What should I rap about on this outro? Give me a subject.
West Coast.
Oh,
love. Oh. This bro. Sound like a Keisha Cole.
You're talking about palm trees, sometimes them wannabes, but more factual, them real G's. That's at West Coast. Some say it's the best coast. I don't mean to brag, but I'm a boast. Give me a minute. Let me be so infinite. My thoughts, they just so tinted. That means you can't see behind the glass that I'm riding in. I'm sliding in the low with D's on it. Might have some switches.
Oh. I'm your hype man, dog.
You my hype man.
I'm your hype man.
Huh. Oh, that's what's up. I like that beat.